The continuing resolution funding the federal government runs through December 11th, but that is not the next deadline that could affect the executive branch, and the turmoil in the race for Speaker of the House could impact those deadlines. David Hawkins is senior editor at CQ Roll Call. David, the next one, it seems to me, as I work through the calendar, is November 5th, and that is the last estimate that I heard of when the debt limit argument could present itself and force a problem for not just the legislative branch, but the executive branch. Do we have a sense of how any of this turmoil in the race for Speaker might impact those negotiations, or are they all on hold until the House chooses a leader? Thanks for coming on, David.
It is all on hold for now, except to the extent that what the turmoil in the House means is that John Boehner is in all likelihood going to have to stay a little bit longer than he planned. He had planned to leave on the last day of the month, and he had now it doesn't look like the Republicans will even be able to meet to choose their nominee for Speaker until, obviously, next week, because the Congress is in recess this week. We know that the name on everybody's lips, Paul Ryan, is back home in Wisconsin pondering what he wants to do and sending some signals that he'll only even consider reversing his interest in being Speaker. And if the Freedom Caucus, the most conservative members, drop all of their demands and just say, okay, you're our guy and we'll follow you, which I don't think is likely to happen. But in any case, so that, yes, the turmoil will continue at least into next week because there's a recess, then there's a nomination of Speaker, then some little time needs to go by before they can elect the Speaker, and only if a Speaker is elected will Boehner leave. Now, why is all that important to the actual workings of the federal government is because the longer Boehner sticks around, the more he says he is inclined to, in his indelicate phrase, clean the barn for the next guy.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I mean, that's because having cleaned a barn at one point in my life, I'm aware of the analogy that he's making there.
Yes, it's a
great metaphor.
It's a good analogy. Whoever the next speaker is probably not going to have such pithy analogies. So one of the things he wanted to do was, and there had been some preliminary talks about a big budget deal, maybe a 2-year budget deal on altering the spending caps, not one that would actually lead before Boehner's departure to actually writing this bill, but at least a handshake. So the longer he sticks around, the more he may try to do that, or he may decide with whoever emerges as the next speaker to not do that. He's also trying to get the Export-Import Bank reopened before he leaves. He also wants something to happen with the transportation, the Highway Trust Fund, which needs another short-term extension by the end of the month, or else that's another little deadline. And then there's the debt limit. Now, you mentioned November 5th. There are some who are saying that is a overly pessimistic view of when the debt ceiling needs to be increased, that maybe the Treasury will move it back again, that was something of a – there's some suspicion that that was maybe a politically influenced play to try and force the debt limit to go up before Boehner left and when there was sort of this leadership vacuum. I think there's a little – my understanding is there's a little wiggle room in that deadline, and it could be extended without too much trouble. But in any case, it's got to happen this fall. The Obama administration says they're not, I mean, they have drawn a very firm line in the sand, so-called, you know, another one of these red lines. Now, the Obama administration has ignored its own red lines in the past, but what they're saying is we're not attaching a discussion of the debt limit increase to anything else. The debt limit increase is just a must-do thing. It's not negotiable. It just has to happen. It's just a legislative requirement that doesn't even exist, actually, in many countries. In many countries, it just happens automatically. And we're just not going to talk. We're not going to allow it to be held hostage for anything, for any time, for any reason.
I am struck by the conversation that I'm starting to hear more of that gets to what you were just referring to, the fact that folks are speculating or hoping or wishing that Speaker Boehner would do all of this stuff, maybe not in one fell swoop, but knock a lot of these things out, as he's suggested, before he leaves. This could turn out to be a silver lining for that effort if he's actually going to be around longer than October 30th. And I guess I take some cynical comfort in the fact that Republicans in the House don't seem to be any better at conducting their internal business than they are at conducting the country's business. Your colleague, Niels Lesniewski, entertained me, informed me, and made me mad all at the same time.
That's what he does best.
With the terrific column that he wrote titled, Schumer Urges Boehner to Go Big Before Going Home. The reason that he made me mad is because I was writing a commentary by essentially the same title until I saw Niels's piece. But it's very well done and lays out the argument that Chuck Schumer, who presumably will be the Senate Democratic leader in the next Senate, he's making the argument that that's essentially what John Boehner should do, is just do all this stuff, and then whoever becomes Speaker won't have to deal with any of it. It makes such sense, David, that it makes me slightly pessimistic that it would happen.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and it does make a lot of sense, except I think that so how this would work is that Boehner would make a moderate centrist deal that could then be approved, would go through Congress with most Democrats, if not all Democrats, in support, and some, but probably not most, Republicans in support, because those Republicans are in, and so there is a chance he could cut this deal and then have it rejected because of not having enough Republican votes. Because if it's a big compromise, some Democrats might not vote for it, so you might need a decent number of Republican votes. So there's some talk that would be, if he did this and it suffered a big defeat right before he handed over the gavel, that would be a sign to the next speaker, don't be cutting any deals. Your life is going to be just as miserable, maybe even quicker than Boehner's was, maybe even faster than it was for Boehner. And then the other thought is that if you as a lame duck speaker try and tidy up the barn, you might end up making your life more difficult for the next speaker, because he would then sort of have this high bar to get over, and there'd be no interest in the Republican Congress going between here and the next election in a year doing anything to help the guy out.
I have a hard time seeing how any negotiation that produces something, at least along the lines as far as the federal budget goes, a hard time seeing how anything that produces something along the lines of the bipartisan budget agreement couldn't get 218 votes in the House. And what does John Boehner care if they're Democratic or Republican votes, because they can't fire him? He already quit.
That's true. The question is, yes, a deal to raise the spending caps by itself would get 218 votes. I think there's no doubt about it, because virtually all the Republicans would vote for it. And presumably there are 30 or some Republicans who'd go along. Probably no more than that. It's if you try and add additional things, revenue increases to pay for a highway trust fund extension would be the most obvious example. The talk is that you, as part of your budget deal, you agree to raise some revenue and dedicate that revenue to filling up the highway trust fund, which is virtually empty because gas tax revenues are way down, because the gas tax hasn't been raised in 23 years. And that would be a difficult thing to get many Republicans to vote for, and there are still some centrist Democrats who might not want to do that either, especially if they didn't think it was going to go anywhere, and remembering that this whole deal that we're just describing would still then need to get through the Senate. So unless McConnell buys in to whatever to Boehner's plan to clean out the barn, then there's no point politically in any of these people taking any politically difficult votes in the House to help Boehner clean out the barn on the way out the door, if this package is then just going to go to a ugly, slow death in the Senate.
It's a lot more complicated than I thought it was, David. So this is
it's a crazy mess. Good thing we all got the day off, or at least I did.
Well, I think the whole barn analogy is exactly right, and let's just hope the speaker goes to the hardware store and gets a nice big shovel.
Big shovel and some high boots.
Thanks as always, my friend. I appreciate it.
See you later.